This is your girl, Asada O, and welcome to The Easy Breezy Life, the official podcast of our global community, featuring women from over 50 countries who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become CEO of your life so that you can take the reins and create the abundance that God intended for you to have. As a disclaimer, everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. We believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, and we want to encourage you to seek our professional advice and support in any way, shape, or form that you might need it. We're going to take a brief break and come back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. Joining me today are Drs. John and Doran Walker. They are a wife and husband duo doing ministry together. They are also my fellow co-authors on the recently released book, Joy 365, that you can find on Amazon and on the Easy Breezy website. Dr. John Walker is a co-author of Joy 365 Devotional and Choose Joy, a journal written for joy restoration worldwide. In 2023, Dr. Walker authored his first book, I Decree Your Apocalypse, and Uncover Your Mystery. This book is about God's plan to uncover and reveal your mystery, your secret, and the original intent and design of your life. You can purchase a copy of this book on Amazon.com, store.bookbaby.com, wallsofsalvation.global, and Global Academy Shop. And joining us today is his lovely wife, Dr. Doran J.B. Walker, who is a licensed ordained minister and co-laborer with Christ as she ministers the gospel of God's kingdom. She attended the Bride of Christ School of Ministry in 1995 and also authored her first book, Life After Loss, A Journey into Wholeness, which remained on the publisher's consistent seller list for more than 5 years. She later authored The School of True Worship and Effectual Fervent Prayer, the curriculum book, and I Am a Poster and Worship Journal, and is the artist of I Am Spoken Word Audio. Also, she attended the Empowerment Theological Institute and Bible Seminary, where she received her doctorate in divinity and a PhD in leadership ethics. Thank you so much, Dr. John and Dr. Doran, for being with me today, and a huge, huge welcome on behalf of the Easy Breezy community. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
We're doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for hosting us. Absolutely.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Amen.
We rejoice. We're glad in it. Yes.
Amen. So I'm so happy to be here with you, not just as fellow co-authors, but as fellow husband and wife in ministry. And you've been doing ministry for quite some time. So why don't you start the conversation with talking to us about your journey into ministry and what has brought you to this juncture where you are in your life?
Yes. We were actually up in Maryland. We were here, and the Lord had deposited. God gave me a vision. I was actually working in the government, and God gave me an explosive vision about moving from here and starting a ministry in the Gulf Coast, Northwest Florida. My wife currently, she was working for the government as well. She had her own staff and those type of things. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to share this with her, right? Because the Lord showed me the whole idea. Then eventually the Lord began to reveal to her that, hey, your husband's on target. Hey, this is it, right? So because it was a big, large move, one that entailed moving our entire family, everything to Florida. So before I even gotten there, I went now set up for the school and so forth. And my wife actually was like a trailblazer. She went down to Florida and waited. I told her, don't worry, I'm going to get there. And the Lord opened up the doors for me to leave here from Homeland Security to Florida. And it took us a five-year journey from Maryland to Florida to the Panhandle to actually start the ministry. That's how we got started in the parent in the Northwest Florida region. And we started the church at 2010 and 2010. It's a lot of stuff that took place, right? So, I mean, I'm not getting everything, but before we started the church, my wife and I, we began, she did in a write up all, a lot of manuals, everything that kind of what we needed for the ministry. We started in 2010 and we went from a church, from a school front to from a gymnasium of a school, went to a storefront. And then we purchased our own building, and all of that, you know, total about 10 years. So 2010 to 14 years, 2010 to 2023. Like that, I'm covering, I'm giving you a Reader's Digest version.
Yeah,
our
church is Walls of Salvation Church Ministries Incorporated, yes. Which we incorporated in 2002. Shortly after my husband gave me the vision, our kids were really young, uh-huh. Age 4 and 7. We, you know, migrated, went to Florida, ran a ministry for 14 years. Like you heard Apostle John declaring, our theme was building up and empowering people of purpose, movement, and destiny. We met a lot of grassroots people in Pensacola, Florida, and we're able to pour into them. We had three phases of a curriculum that we discipled people with, leadership and empowerment phases 1, 2, and 3 that we wrote from scratch based on what the Lord showed us, scriptural references, background, et cetera. And we were able to pour in those. Every time someone joined the ministry or gave their life to the Lord, we took them through three phases. And the first one dealt with salvation to make sure they were really saved, the elementary yes. truths, what the church is really all about, the gifts and callings of the Holy Spirit. We poured a lot into people. So whether they stayed in our ministry a lot or not, they received a curriculum that we called it 24 hours with the Lord, a day with the Lord. And it was full 24 hours, and we poured into each person that came to the ministry. So that went about for 14 years. And then my husband, out of the blue on last year, said that the Lord shared with him. He had three visions that it was time, and the work was finished in Pensacola, and there was more to come. So at that time, he was not sure, but by July of last year, he knew for sure that we had to move. We've since transitioned to Stafford, Virginia. We're still incorporated as Walls of Salvation Church Ministries Incorporated to see what God is now going to do in this region. And we believe our ministry is now not isolated to our area of Florida where he first saw the vision, but it will be touching the nations of the world. I truly believe that. But this is our launching from Stafford.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, wow.
We feel that we will be reaching out to South Africa first. South Africa, global in terms of our books getting there, ministry there. We have some friends there. We believe that God is going to, it's a global outreach, right? So not just currently for this region, but to Africa, South Africa and Ghana. Yes.
That is fantastic. Let me take it back just a little bit, because you mentioned something there that I thought was so powerful, the testimony of discipleship in your ministry, because, you know, we're living in a time where people come in and I was raised Muslim and walked into church. Right. And so I know the difference between being discipled and walking into a place and feeling like I feel no closer to God yesterday than I was today than I was yesterday. Talk about why you felt it was important to take that time to disciple, because I do think that it's become a lost art in the times that we're living in, right? It's not that we don't want to be blessed, it's that sometimes we don't have the foundational truth of our faith, and why you felt it was so important to say, before you move forward, take a day with the Lord.
Yes, for me, you know, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, there were two main things that he mentioned. And the first one was in Matthew 28, where he said, like, you know, many people said the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And we often symbolize that with people. But what he came to seek and save was the kingdom that was lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam fell. So Jesus came and brought back the kingdom, our kingdom life, to rule and to reign in the earth. So when he was risen from the dead and he took the keys from Satan, you know, from the keys from hell, and he was resurrected, he came back and he said, all authority, all power of rule has been given to me. And now go and make disciples of all nations. He said, go, Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the first things he said after he was resurrected. We just celebrated the resurrection on last week. And so people don't realize now what? It was not a time to dress cutely in our clothes or to say we have just a celebration. It was the entrance into a new era. And the first era is now to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, repentance, the Son, salvation, and in the Holy Spirit. So that in Acts 1:8, the second main thing he said when he was walking the earth with infallible proof, you know, he mentioned that, you know, that wait, because the promise is going to come to you. And when you receive the promise, you will receive power. That's Acts 1:8, 5 and 8, to be a witness unto me, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he said, I have the power, you go, but wait. So now you're going to be empowered to be that witness when you do go. And so for us as believers, I believe because I have the mantles, my fivefold ministry mantles are evangelism, the prophet, and I have apostolic. And because of those mantles, I'm always seeing the discipleship need to go. So I think it's prevalent for me. So in America, a lot of people focus on the pastor, but we don't realize there are fivefold natures of Christ. And the pastors are always just shepherding people, socializing, having a good time, making you feel comfortable, not necessarily focusing on the discipleship of all nations. But because I have the mantle of the evangelist, it's always having me to focus on that. And I think in America, where we go wrong, we need to see the need for all five natures of Christ. And when we focus on one, we miss it. So that's the first thing Christ told us. So discipleship is foundational. It should not be a choice. It is the first thing Christ said. And secondly, he said, you will get the power to do it. When the Holy Spirit came, Acts 2, the power came. So the time has changed. We now have the power to walk forward, not in our own wisdom or strength, but we can go forward. Yes.
And that is to speak to that, what you said, that is a gap. Before we went and started our own ministry, we were part of a mega church, and we were part of the outreach portion. And one thing that we introduced to the outreach was when we get people saved on the street, well, get people saved, but when they walk through the prayer of salvation, but to follow through, go and get institute the Holy Spirit to come right behind it, and discipleship of going out, following up, and actually being that connector, like, because you're building relationships. We're not just doing something, it's a prayer, and then it's transactional. No, this is deeper than just a transactional contact. This is a commitment that you're coming into a family, and part of that is you need to receive power to become a witness. We instituted that.
And actually, from me, when the Lord definitely shared with me that you could be leading people to hell. You could bring them into church, and because you didn't disciple them, you're leading them to hell. They have their demons still with them. They have not been delivered. I shared this with my husband. We were able to propose this to that mega church. They incorporated. You remember when the Lord showed me that clearly, you could lead them to hell. And again, I believe that came from my mantle of evangelism, because I saw the need to make disciples. That scripture, we forget that's the mandate, the Great Commission. Some people think the Great Commission is just getting them saved, but it doesn't say get them saved. It says make them disciples. Mm-hmm. So they first, of course, have to come into salvation, but then you have to teach them everything God taught us through the word of God. And that's what discipleship is.
And then
so,
in our own personal walk, like myself, when you look back about how did I got saved, and then my aunt, which was my mentor at the time, I asked her about the language that she was speaking in prayer to God. And she began to give me some instruction. Things began to, after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, supernatural, I mean, stuff began to just, things began to happen, you know. And I took it with me to the military. I'm military, Navy, praying in the Spirit. Even before I give briefs, whatever, the Lord helping me, Holy Spirit began to help me. Give me dreams, insight, all of that. You know, you can't function without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is my personal walk with him. So, yes, we've incorporated discipleship is key. And then, of course, getting them into the life of the ministry, life of the church, the gifts and callings, identifying those gifting, being part of a team to, you know, to actually grow and mature into what God desires for you to go. And just to get to that point is warfare. And then get them to a place of placement into the body is phenomenal as well. So, yeah, We are. That's who we are. We had, I don't know how many classes.
Yes.
Leadership empowerment classes.
We had for 14 from day one. Our own children, they were four. Well, by the time we started the church, they were now 7 and 10. And we took our own children through the discipleship class. We treated our family the exact way we would treat anyone coming into our church. What was interesting, we went to an area where they were not used to that. So I'm glad you brought up that point. People were not used to that. They're used to just coming and we're having a good time and with the pastor, more of like a fellowship. And so when we introduced discipleship, they were like, who are these people? And so there was some resistance, but there were people who did go through the classes. We at one time opened it up to people who were not just a part of our church, and that allowed people to come freely and to take the classes. Then we started an online version, which we do have now, and we're going to expand that while we're here in transition and call it, make it a group by itself and offer it to others. So the books that we use, phase 1, 2, and 3 of leadership and empowerment, they're also on our website, wallsofsalvation.global, where people could download those in a PDF. You can study them on your own, or if you need that interaction, we will also be available to lead you through that. So we have videos where it's self-taught and you could also do it on your own, or if you want us to do it in person. So I'm excited about that because it's the command of Jesus Christ.
And we also provide ordination. We provide covering, and also through that, we set them apart for the ministry of God, regardless of where you are. So you can be across, you can be overseas, you could be in the United States, it doesn't matter where you are. It's the avenues where we can connect with, you know, with people.
Because it's online. As a matter of fact, we had a young girl from South Korea. She had joined our church from South Korea in the military, and she was able to go through our course. So I'm excited that we can disciple nations, you know, via online. It's exciting. You know, we're in a time where we don't literally have to go on a plane, but we can do it. The nations are coming. Yes. We're still discipling nations.
You know what I love about the work that you're doing? It really goes into this concept, especially for me as a millennial, this idea of a church without walls, right? I think we're transitioning from a place where church was the building, and what the pandemic taught us was that if church was just the building, then were we doing ministry right for the ages that we are living in? And so I just love the fact that not only are you offering this discipleship class virtually and providing community, but that you're also providing the covering, because we don't talk about, and I experienced this as a very young minister, no one told me about the warfare that was waiting for me once I stepped into the assignment. And the fact that at any given point, I needed mentorship or someone to help me navigate the how hard it can be to have a sincere desire to do good, to have the right intentions, but warfare is coming from left and right and center, because the enemy does not want you to be able to walk and fully fulfill the vision that God has for you. But I want to take a step back for this community, because I know people are listening and they're like, discipleship, what are they talking about? Break down exactly what the fivefold ministry is and what disciple is for somebody who's never heard of those things, right? For the unchurched. I know Jesus, but I don't know anything about church.
You're ready.
Well, we're going to take this back and forth as, you know, collaboration here. But Ephesians 4, you know, where it all began when Jesus, of course, you know, he led captivity captive. When he was dying, he died both a spiritual and physical death. So when he was dying spiritually, he went to get the keys from Lucifer, the very one that stole the kingdom of God. I mentioned that earlier. And when he came forward, in Ephesians 4, he mentioned, I gave some. Now I gave some. These are the giftings that I came to restore my kingdom so it could now be advanced in the earth. So I did my part, but Jesus also said there are greater works, because he's going to go back to the Father. So now he has disciples. Remember the 12 disciples that he had? So now we want everyone else to be discipled. So he said, now I gave some to be apostles, some pastors and teachers and evangelists. And I'm always forgetting one. Pastors, teachers, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles. Did I get them all, Pastor John?
Yeah, Pastor TJ.
Yeah, so those are the fivefold. So those are the prophets. I know I forgot one, the prophet. So these are the five natures of Jesus Christ. And I think I spoke with someone once and they thought these are titles people are giving themselves. They are totally separate. In our leadership and empowerment discipleship, we break them down. My husband, he is the pastor, teacher, apostle. I have the prophet, the evangelist and the apostle also. So we merge together perfectly. The apostolic and the prophet is where we really link. So I am so opposite of a pastor, where the pastor is going to be shepherding you, has a lot of grace of forgiveness and nurturing and taking their time. Whereas the prophet, I'm strongly prophetic. So I'm more about deliverance. I see the demonic realm and I know that you're struggling with some things and you need deliverance. So a lot of times people don't know how to take me because they may call me Pastor Dorn, but I'm not a pastor. I'm prophet. Mm. So the prophet, I'm never going to be like him. And so there were always these differences. But I think in the body of Christ, when we realize each part is separate and it has its own role, the apostle, you could share that, who the apostle is, and we could go back into it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see the leadership in my wife. She a strong leadership gives.
But share the apostle so we could get back.
So the apostle sets order, right? So apostle go in and say, hey, they setting up the new work, but they setting the order up so that a person can come in. A strong, with the apostle comes the teacher, a strong teaching anointing that, hey, not only this new work, this individual have to not only get saved, stick with this person till they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of that, deliverance is needed. That person needs to be delivered. That's why you see apostles and prophets connected with each other, right? Because prophets bring that strong deliverance. They see devils quickly. They say, because you can't teach that. Devils cannot be taught. Devils can only be cast out.
Tell it.
So that's why I said apostles, then prophets.
So you have to remove the hindrances or stumbling block so that now it's good ground, right? You know, when God spoke to Jeremiah, he said, pluck up to pull out. First, you got to, before anything can grow, you have to remove the stones, the block, the stone, you know, all of the hindrances. So yes. Then now that the work can go in and promote growth. But wow, like I said, but it has to, those things have to be removed.
And the so way that we put them on a chart, we have the apostle and prophet over here. We're hearing the voice of God, constantly the voice. What is God saying in this hour? Mm-hmm. It's always fresh. And over here, we have the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the family. So in America, people are always focused just on the family. They forget this part of the attacks and the demonic struggle that's there. We wrestle that against flesh and blood. I used to be mad because all the Lord was showing me, I never saw angels at one time. Also, it was the demonic realm. Why, Lord? Then I realized the mantle of the prophetic, that God, because I have that warrior inside because of that mantle to dismantle, like Jesus came to dismantle the works of the enemy. So with all the prophets, we go in that same role. So I think what we teach is the five natures separately, and for people to have that full understanding that if you're in a church with just a pastor, you're missing. You're not a disciple. You need to hear it in that past. That's why apostles should be heading churches or starting a ministry. So the apostle is not threatened by gifts. So he might have a lead pastor there, or he himself might be pastoral. Then he has teachers, he has evangelists that's going to remind us to keep going to the streets, get new people in.
New blood.
You have to advance the kingdom. People need to be saved. And then the teacher will break it down and just really show you the depth of the word, the foundation of the word, the historical aspect of the word. What does it mean to expound it even more? So all five natures are critical. These are not just people putting titles on their name. God has encountered them. For me, when I first got saved, I knew, and when I first received my encounter as a fivefold minister, I knew that I was prophetic evangelism. I knew prophetic evangelist was my mantle, but I didn't realize I had the apostolic till later on. First, I was just assisting my husband, but then later I saw the apostolic developing. So for young leaders or people that are emerging, you may not know immediately all the mantles, but you're going to know you have a fivefold call because you have the encounter. But over time, I saw that I do have three, and my husband, he also walks in three, but we complement each other like amazingly.
Toward the end of all of that is the maturity, you know, just for your mature, to you mature so that to we all, that scripture Ephesians 4, say to we all come into the unity, right? Maturity of Christ, you walking in the full maturity of who God created you to be. Now you're empowered. And now you are spreading the gospel to the nations, those type of thing. You walking into your full maturity. And that's what the enemy tries to stop, try to stop it, each person from reaching their full capacity. You know, and if you don't, if we don't have those people that's going to thrust, they're going to push you and thrust and
propel
be a thorn
you
in
forward.
Your side to get you to the next level. If you don't have that, you comfortable where you are, you will never get to what God.
If you don't have the apostle and the prophet, I'm telling you, you're going to be stuck right
I
there.
Love, I love to hear you say that.
Some people don't even believe the demonic realm is real.
Right. And we're in church and it's happening all around us. And the enemy is just so happy that you don't believe, because that means he can do whatever he wants in your life. And you're not going to raise up an altar and a standard against that. So I want to talk a little bit about the books, because Dr. Dorn, you have been an author for 30 years, you mentioned. Talk to me about your journey into authorship and why and what inspires you to continue to write.
Well, my bachelor's was in accounting, and I never thought that I would be an author. But it began when, in my last 6 weeks of college, I became a young widow. I was widowed at 23 years old, and I had a four-year-old daughter, and was not a believer, was not raised in a Christian church at all. And I came to a point where I felt like I was losing my mind, and I needed something supernatural to pull me out of this brokenness. I was a broken woman, married very young, college student, 6 weeks to graduation with a bachelor's. Then I lost a loved one. My husband died, my sister, my uncle, three. At one time, I had a lawsuit against me, $150,000, all happened within the same time period. So my life crashed, and I almost didn't go back to finish the 6 weeks. I missed four of the 6 weeks, but then people kept saying, do it for your daughter. I eventually went back to school, gave my life to the Lord. This could be like a whole hour conversation, so I'm trying to wrap it up, summarize it. But I gave my life to the Lord in that aspect because I needed supernatural, an anchor of healing and deliverance. So I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who healed my heart. But then in the midst of, after I got saved, I found myself still kind of like not really being fully delivered from my hurts. I knew that I was still a hurt person. I said the confession, but I wasn't whole. I wasn't healed. And then I began to see myself dibbling and dabbling back and forth with my faith. And then I knew something was wrong. And I began to really just start journalizing this whole journey of my brokenness. And so as I journalized, that was a part of my healing. And God would bring me to different levels about defining the pain, naming it your enemy, knowing that the cross Jesus went to nailed all of your hurts. And so all of this was my own personal discipleship, journalizing and healing at the same time. And so then it came to a point where I had friends that would call me and they had issues. And I found myself sharing with them the things that I jotted down in my journalizing, in my journal of healing. And they were receiving from it. Then all out of the blue, I had like a box full of notes and things that I had written for my own healing. And then God said to me, I heard the Holy Spirit saying, it's a book. And at the time I took that revelation to my pastor, who was already a published author. Mm-hmm. And he said, wow. He said, so how are you going to do this? You have all these pieces of paper. And I said, you know, I was always the type to be led by the Holy Spirit. I had my personal intimate relationship with God. So I didn't always wait for people. I was always the time that took time out daily in the presence of God. I heard his voice again, not knowing I had the mantle, but I was always sensitive to know that I needed a relationship. So then the Lord began to lead me, his Holy Spirit, about all these pieces of the paper, and they all became chapters, you know, in the book. And so then that became my first book, The Life After Loss, A Journey into Wholeness. You can see the name is different. I was not married to Pastor John, Apostle John at the time. I was Dorn J.B. Wheatley, but this book is almost 30 years old. And so what it is a whole journey into wholeness. Wholeness, I have on the back that you don't have to just cope with your hurts. You can become healed. You can be whole. A lot of people don't know the difference. And then God showed me that wholeness is synonymous with salvation. Because when you look up salvation, sozo, it's really that meaning of wholeness. And so even as a believer, so as I matured, even when I wrote this, I was still really immature as a believer. But when I go back and see how much God really spoke through this book, it was not me. Because now it all makes sense as I'm now a mature believer, the work that God funneled through me. So sozo, when we receive salvation, if we're not discipled, we're going to always be living beneath that level of maturity. But when we come into the wholeness of what it means, then we're really going to be ready for God, meet for the master to use. So my authorship began in my own need for salvation, brokenness, and wholeness. And then life after loss came about. To this day, people are still purchasing this. When we had our book signing for Joy 365 early in March, a right. woman came to my table and she said, I want that. She put right. it to this book. She didn't want Joy 365. I want this. So people are still purchasing this book, believe it or not. Next year, I plan to make this an audio where it's going to continue as the 38th year anniversary. Then I also have, I know you asked me how I got into it, but this was the first yeah. one. So I began to write it. My pastor, because he was like a mentor to me, told me to send the manuscript to certain places. I believe I sent it to like five different places, got rejected from four. The fifth one said they saw potential in this. Destiny Image at that time, believe it or not, this is why we have to have a strong foundation in God and allow Holy Spirit to lead us. But Destiny Image, who had published T.D. Jakes, Dr. Mm-hmm. Miles Monroe, whose books are advertised in the back of my book. Their books are mentioned in the back of this book published that long ago. And I'm not making this up. There's T.D. Jakes, Naked yep. and Not Ashamed in the back of my mm-hmm. book. They published Dr. Miles. I was a nobody. They saw the working of God in this. They gave me a contract. This book remained on their consistent sellers list for more than 5 years. It was supposed to be a 2-year contract, and it lasted 5 to 7 years. So that was my tremendous. First introduction to. Yeah.
So how does a person like me get a copy of this book? Is it on sale on your website as well?
Life After Loss now is at wallsofsalvation.global. I'm believing next year on the 30th anniversary to do something with it to market it even more. Yes. But that was the beginning of my journey of authorship. Yes.
Wow, that is tremendous. So Dr. John Walker, I know that you have an incredible book that it was recently released in 2023 that talks about I Decree Your Apocalypse. And right off the bat, right, when I think of apocalypse, I'm thinking about the end of the world and having all these images, and it sounds scary. Why don't you break down for the listeners what you actually mean for this and how empowering this book could be for their life?
Yes. Yeah, so what does this mean in this book? I Decree Your Apocalypse, Uncover Your Mystery. Well, it started with me, of course, right? And my background, I'm an intelligence analyst. I ask a lot of questions, right? I find out all kinds of things about people, all kind of whatever, right? And I'm inquisitive by nature. So when I gave my life to the Lord, my aunt being my mentor, I asked her 1,000 questions. I mean, questions over the phone and myself going into the word. I'm an inquisitive person. So what happened was my apocalypse or my uncovering came first. So the Lord revealed to me my assignment, who I am. While I was in the military, I constantly asked questions about, God, what did you call me to be? I wouldn't even say it. I just said, Lord, I know I'm not just here to just be drinking, running, chasing women, you know, and partying. We're going to hang up. Even in the midst of a hangover, I wake up, I said, nah, I know I'm not here. Is that it? This is it? You know? And the Lord began to, even after I came into the body of Christ, I still had that inquiry. God, why am I here? And when it happened to me, I was on the Gulf Coast, and I was between of us an assignment. I was in the United States Navy, and I was about to get out of the military, and I was wondering, what should I do? Should I go overseas, work for one of these companies, Lockheed Martin or Bose or whatever? I could have gone overseas. But I said, Lord, what is it? And the Lord opened the door and gave me my own, uncovered my own life. Right. As it relates to where my assignment in the Gulf Coast region, what I'm supposed to be doing and so forth. That's where Walls of Salvation came from. And so you fast forward that. And I was trying to figure out, I came across a scripture when Paul was saying the mystery that had been hidden before the beginning of time is now accessible now. And I asked the Lord, what is Paul talking about? What mystery we talk about here? And at that quest, what God did to me, the Lord was showing me through scriptures, this is what happened to you.
Wow.
Right? This is why you were able to move. And Jesus told Nicodemus, and you know, with the Spirit of God, you can see, you had to see the kingdom and enter the kingdom, right? When you have the Holy Spirit, you can see the kingdom, and then when you see it, then you can enter the kingdom, and then there comes a time where you can inherit the kingdom of God, right? So I decree your apocalypse was just a quest over time, like years and years of study of God revealing certain things to me. And then the Lord gave me a go ahead how I could put it into print, right? Mm. And so I began to write about the mystery. Mm. And the Lord began to tell me that every person, yourself, myself, every human being is a mystery of God. Now, let's say every person a mystery. And just like with any novel, a mystery, there's a truth to every mystery. Like when you look up a mystery, so we're mysteries of God. But but Jesus brings the truth. He unlocks your puzzle. Like every person has a different fingerprint. You have a different fingerprint. We all have a different fingerprint. But then the secret of God or the truth of God is released to you so all of a sudden the glory is released. God is able to you and you see the kingdom. Then God said, now I need you to enter in what you see, right? And then the nation, you know, then you can be uncovered, right? So that's why this came out. I decree your apocalypse just to bring tools for every person. First, to make them aware that, hey, this was God's idea. You don't supposed to know everything. Adam didn't know everything. He's supposed to get to the tree. You never made it to the tree of life, right? But God wants, it's that quest of love as we begin to run to God. He began to reveal to us who we are. So, and I have in the book that when the earth lines up with heaven, your apocalypse or your uncovering is imminent, right? Yeah. So I decree your apocalypse. It's like a prophesying to that individual. You will be uncovered. God will release. God is going to release something to you that's going to blow your own mind about your own existence so you can carry out your assignment in the earth. So I list different signposts in here. A kingdom awareness, kingdom alignment, kingdom warfare, kingdom prayers, decrees, you know, and confessions that's going to get you to a place, and also kingdom mentorship. We have some other things that's going to get you in the realm of God being able to, you aligning with God so he can reveal himself to you. But when those come in place, then all is left is he's excited. That scripture that comes to me, God says, Jesus, it's my Father's desire to give you the kingdom. It's our desire to give you the kingdom. That's why I died, so that you might be restored, your wholeness. Like my wife's book, your wholeness can come. So.
I think you're muted.
You know what I love that you mentioned in both of your stories that I think is super unique, that you both didn't come to Christ up until adulthood. And I think that's important because I didn't come to Christ until I was 16. And a lot of times people are intimidated by the topics, the things that you are both teaching now, because if I didn't grow up in this environment and, you know, I don't speak church speak, then I feel like it might not be for me. What do you have to say to the person who is curious about Christ and the way that life made you curious? Your testimonies are both powerful in different ways, but it was your seeking of God, whether you knew so directly or indirectly, that caused him to pursue you as well. So what do you have to say for the young inquisitive or a young adult believer who's just converted, who's just learning about Jesus and is feeling intimidated by all these topics? What do you mean there's warfare? What do you mean there's an apocalypse and revelation? How do I find the courage to pick up your book, to get plugged in and to find and to pursue this revelation of who I am in Christ?
My Lord, I would first introduce the school of true worship, effectual fervent prayer. And the reason I start there is, see, in the beginning when God made Adam, God made man as a part of fellowshipping with him. And God is desiring intimacy with us. And so John chapter 4, the foundation of this book, 23, 24, the Father seeketh true worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So for a young person, it's our, we should understand that is that the church is inside of us. The church is not a building or a steeple, it's a movement. And it becomes a movement when we're connected back with God, our original plan of Eden, of really being in the presence of God, becoming one with him, because he made us in his image and in his likeness. And he said, let us make man, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we need all parts of God inside. We need the understanding of that fullness of who God is. So our spirit, he made us in his image. We have a spirit that connects back with God when we come to the Lord. So as a young believer, your spirit needs to be connected back with God, like Adam had it connected before the fall. So Jesus came to as the atoning, at one with God, to make us back at one. Now we're back at one. We have to seek the connection of our spirit with God. So that's where true worship comes in. In my book, I laid out, because people think that worship is the first 15 or 30 minutes in church. It is not. It has nothing to do with music. In my book, I lay out, define what worship is what we're sold out to, what we cannot live without, what we're willing to give our alms, our tithes, our sacrifice of our whole life to. People worship many things, worship careers, jobs. This book is about our worship of God. It has nothing to do with music, song, singing.
I would
really direct them to this book, because it's going to lay down the importance of an intimate relationship, why your spirit needs to connect with God and not a man. The man will lead you. We mentioned the fivefold ministers leading you to maturity so that you now can advance the kingdom for yourself. We are like coaches, but we are not responsible for your intimate relationship with God. You are responsible for that. Every waking moment, getting up, saying, God, I need you. Thank you for waking me up. Connecting your spirit with him, hearing his voice, being led. Where do I go next? What do you have for me? That is not the role of your coach at church, you know, as I call us. You have a responsibility to grow. So I see both of our books, The Apocalypse, School of True Worship, The Wholeness, all of those coming together. And this is why I know who we are, and our role is embodied in the books we've written. This is the gospel of God's kingdom. We're not just writing stories. So this is the word of God. So that's why I would say for each young person, find a relationship. When I found myself slipping as an adult believer, and I was young, lost my husband, I was like, oh my God, I was crying out to God. It was like, I'm losing the joy I found. And I heard the Holy Spirit said, seek first my kingdom and all of my righteousness. And then all these things you're looking for. I literally heard that in my time of repentance. And I asked God, what is your kingdom? And the Holy Spirit said, study it. It took me 2 years to study the word kingdom. Every new believer, if you understand what the kingdom is, it will change your walk with God. You will see why you're here. You are valuable to God. God wants you to advance it, maintain it, stand its ground, and then occupy till Christ returns. So this is where all the warfare comes in. You have to occupy. You have to maintain what you've received. You have to advance, tell others. So how can you do that if you're not even comfortable with it? You don't even understand it. Again, Jesus came to restore the kingdom movement. So if you understand what the kingdom is, then you'll see your role and how you connect individually with God. In Revelation 5, it tells us God has made us kings and priests. So then you understand that you are king and a priest in this earth to rule and to reign. So how do you do that if you're not even healed, whole, discipled? So you'll have you questing after more. So I'll let my husband share it on that too.
And this, I decree your apocalypse, right? It's a non-conventional view. Matter of fact, when I started writing this, at first I started writing, and the Lord was like, no, there's not you. And he told me, you are the mystery of God. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm the mystery of God. And the God was like, every person, right? I don't care, like for the teenager, for the ones that, that are young, God took a part of himself, right? He took the way he created you. He reached in and took a part of himself and brought you out. He created you out of himself. So regardless of where you came from, how you were treated on the earth, whether you have one parent, no parent, maybe you're adopted, whatever the case, however you came to the earth, whoever mistreated you, that doesn't take away of the nature of who
you're
God in the, God took a part of himself. And you're made of God material. Now things happen that we're plunged into darkness, but that doesn't take away your value of who you are. You came from God, right? You came from God. You connected to this material in you that's is eternal, right? Mm-hmm. You are eternity. That's eternity inside of you. But you have to connect back with your creator, the one who created you. And so in this book, it goes for every person in humanity, just the idea that it's God's idea. I know it doesn't, I mean, it might not sound right, or you may have been exposed to different religions, those type of things, but every person that you see in Walmart, every person you see in Sam's, every person you see in the street, they mm-hmm. came from heaven. They came from God. God created that individual, right? And we bring an aspect, we bring a vantage point of who mm-hmm. God is. So mm-hmm. so that right there, that's why every person, I advocate this. Hey, but it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, if you're Palestinian, Afghan, I mean, whatever. God created you. Now, when you connect with heaven, he began to reveal to you Jesus, the Son, the Messiah, under all the, he's the prototokos, right? The Greeks mm-hmm. are prototokos. We're the prototype from the prototokos. We prototype of the original. We came out of him. Right. And regardless of conventional with what we've been taught in our mind, God is saying, I'm trying to bring wisdom. I'm trying to give you knowledge about who you are. Mm-hmm. And so never discount yourself. Don't never look at or whatever. Come to God. Like my wife,
personal relationship.
She had no reference of who God was. I think you accepted Jesus in the stand, right? When they had to call to Christ or whatever. Had no, my wife was raised in the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let her tell you that. Raised in the ghetto and wasn't used going, a little bit of semblance.
It was not a home of salvation at all. So you heard the testimony I gave initially.
In the beginning, yes.
Yeah, so in my seeking is when I found the Lord. I was not raised in a church at all, but I came to a place where I know I needed something more. So like your initial question, what can I tell someone, is because you have to seek him. You literally have to seek him. God makes himself visible to everyone, you know. And yeah, so as
what I love about your ministry, what I love about your ministry is that it is really powerful for the new believer, because you, as you said, you see yourself as coaches to bringing people closer to Christ. I don't hear a lot of pastors or apostles refer to themselves as, I am coaching you into this relationship so that you can get to the intimacy that I have with God and you can find your own intimate relationship. And yes. What it sounds like is like together, your library of books literally takes somebody through their lifespan as a believer. Okay, so you just got here. You're just meeting Christ. This is what it means to worship him. Let your life be worship. This is what it means to walk in discipleship. This is what it means to finally figure out your wholeness and step into assignment. I bet your books lined up could chronologically walk a baby Christian into maturity, full-blown assignment into ministry, which is incredible. I can't wait to see what God does with this next season of your ministry, because it is rare. I mean, I want to emphasize to you that I've served in plenty of churches under ministries. I've been serving in church since I came to Christ and have not stepped into a place, but only one, that was able to walk people from infancy in Christ into full-blown assignment. So God bless you for being faithful to laying that foundation. And I pray that foundation will be what accelerates your ministry in this season, in this place where you find yourself, that as you begin to stretch out to the left, right, the mm-hmm. east, the west, the south and center, that the helpers and the entire all of the needs to help you make sense and bring to fruition what God has put into you in Virginia and in that Maryland area will just take off. It's so powerful. Wow. I'm blown away by the way you broke down that pastoral relationship. I have never heard anyone say it that way.
My Lord.
Wow.
And I think it's that misunderstanding of the fivefold ministry. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go on to
no, I
what
was
is
just saying
next
the
for you.
misunderstanding of the fivefold natures. Yes.
So let's go into what is next for you. You have intentions to have conferences, to build awareness, retreats. Tell us more. What is next for in ministry for Dr. John and Dr. Doran Walker?
I believe as we begin to branch out, this book needs more exposure. I decree your apocalypse needs more exposure. Life of the Lost needs more exposure. School of True Worship and Effectual Fervent Prayer needs more exposure. On not just in this region in terms of a person's maturity, but globally, right? And I believe that. I believe also not just like the globally. Part of the vision when God was calling me, and God surprised me first of all, and all of us. But we're sitting and relaxing. I'm sitting. Oh, maybe we can retire. But I had various encounters with God, and one of those encounters with the angel, there was a woman from Africa waiting. Like you know how in the airport when they're holding up signs saying when you get to a place, say, here we are. Well, there was a woman that was about 6 foot standing up, and I believe she was from Africa, and she was like waiting. All right, have you finished yet? You ready? Let's go. I believe that to me that God said, hey, I want to take this to Africa. I want this to get into the hands of Africans and begin to spread the gospel. So what's next? What's next is more you know, sharing the gospel in terms of our books and also maybe a marriage ministry. We talked about having a ministry called what is it, the ribs? What is it called? Those ribs are
good. These ribs are good.
These
so
ribs are good.
We're married 28 years and I believe the Lord has given us the ability to break down the kingdom in a practical way that people could receive
yes.
it. And that's what where we are. And I have more books inside of me, but we both have. So I'm in the process this year because it's a year, they call it the year of the vote. There are many nations that have elections. With my PhD in leadership ethics, there is my dissertation. I ended up being valedictorian of my class and my dissertation, the chancellor loved it. And I always knew it was gonna be a book. And in that new book, I believe it's you know, maintaining civility in a chaotic world, the Lord is going to allow my calling to be wrapped up into leadership. So as you mentioned, you've been in different churches. The key thing is that with leadership is character. A lot of people are not whole. And so they're pulling you to themselves. And we need to be pointing people to God. So with us, because so it starts with leadership. So I have a PhD in leadership ethics, and in my ministry is going to all come together in this new book that I'm prayerful that will be released this year regarding leadership that the
I
body of Christ could be led with. So I know
in companies and different other groups.
Yeah, I see this. So it's that practical understanding of the kingdom and how it starts really with us. If we're not there, then we can advance it, you know? Yes.
Wow, that was
I'm
tremendous.
Excited.
Cause you know, if we did have time today, I feel like that's a completely separate episode. I really wanted to go into the marriage dynamics and this path and this journey. Cause I can already tell that Dr. Dorn, you are a firework. And so I know there had to be work in you for you to be able to submit it. I know it cause you know it when you see it. When you're one of them, you know it. And I know even my husband and I, we do ministry together and how much the Lord has had to work on me and say, when I give you a covering and that covering is in your house, you need to understand what you have. And I can just see in the way that you are honoring and communicating with your husband that you know who you have sitting beside you, right? And so that is just so powerful.
And I think it's
my
understanding of the fivefold ministry. I know my limitations and I know how we interact. And the Lord allowed me, one thing didn't come out in my bio. I started a group of women that I do empower and mentor, the This Is She That Global. And I share those types of things in there where we are all strong women and leaders, but there's a role. We have to know our role. We're like the queens in the chess game. We call ourselves queens and we influence the win. Without the queen, that king can't say checkmate. And so we know our role. So I now lead women about that, you know, strong leadership. We don't bow. We're not oppressed, oppressed. We know who we are. We influence the wind.
That is fantastic. And so if you want to connect or invite Dr. John and Dr. Dorn to connect with your church or your ministry, or you feel like you are feeling the pull that you need this mentorship, you need this teaching, you need these books. I know for a fact you need these books. I'm going to be looking to all of them in my episode notes. I want you to go to www.wallsofsalvation.global and learn more about their ministry and connect with them on there. And then finally, thank you both so, so much for being here today. Even in the small time that I've been with you, I've gleaned so much. I can't wait to get my hands on your books because I know that they're for me for sure. And it's been an absolute privilege.
Thank you so very much for having us. We appreciate you also. Yes.
We're honored that you have us on your platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We pray that God would increase your increase you, everything that you're doing with your company and sharing that your platform with others and all the other endeavors that I saw on your website that you do in terms of colleges, businesses, and so forth. So